about that? 3 minutes. How'd you find that? 3 minutes to get rid of the kids and come running back. 3 minutes to get to know someone. It's a little bit better than 10 minutes, right? And you know that moment where it gets a bit too awkward, where you run out of things to talk about? So we're cutting that back down and just being more generous to you guys. 3 minutes. Church, today's Palm Sunday. Today's Palm Sunday. And we just want to bring everyone back down to that time of Palm Sunday, that time which is a week ahead of Jesus going to the cross. Yeah, so it's that time. It's Easter's come around again, basically, all right? We're a week away. It's Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. Today we're singing what? What are we singing? Hosanna, 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 right? Hosanna, our King has arrived. Hosanna, our King is here. And by Friday, our King is dead. But by Sunday, our King is
alive,
resurrected. That's right. Hallelujah. Today, we celebrate Palm Sunday. And today, if I'm not clear today, I want you guys to go away with a heart of anticipating and expecting God in your life again. Okay? I'm going to say that again. If I'm not clear today, I want you to walk out of here, and if anything's happened, my prayer is that you are expecting God again. You are anticipating God again, right? So this message today, I've been praying about it this week and thinking about people and a lot of disappointments, a lot of burdens that we might be carrying, but God wants that to be lighter. God wants that to be lighter, okay? So when you go out today, prayer answered, you'll say, God, you're with me. God, I'm expecting you in my life when I get home tomorrow. All right? You'll be anticipating him, I hope. So we're going to go to John's gospel. And this is the moment of Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is in every single gospel. And there's this account in John. It says, John in chapter 12, verse 12, the next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting. What do they shout? Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. So if I can go to the next slide. Our theme for Easter is that he reigns. Jesus reigns. He reigns as our King. But today in Palm Sunday, we are reminded that what that king is like, and that is a humble king. They took palm branches, they sang to him, they praised him, and he arrived on a young donkey. I want you to take 30 seconds, because this is a time, imagine you're back then, imagine that you are in Palm Sunday and the king is arriving. I want you to take 30 seconds to think of some sort of celebration in your life that you are anticipating and expecting with great expectation, right? 30 seconds, and then I'm going to ask you to share that with the person next to you. Go, 30 seconds. All right, and now's the time to whisper it to the person next to you. What was your time of celebration? Now I'm going to ask some brave souls in here. Can you give me some examples of something that you were anticipating, a great celebration that you were looking forward to. Can I get someone over here? Your dad's 80th birthday. When was that? It's coming up. She's still anticipating her dad's 80th birthday. Wow. I know what that feels like because I literally just celebrated my father-in-law's 80th birthday yesterday. So I'm on the other side. And can I give you a word of encouragement? Oh, you can't wait. It'll be great, okay? It feels good on the other end when it's all over. Can I have someone over here? Can I have someone over here? Give me your time of celebration that you're looking forward to. So much celebration in this in the middle here. Ads, Matt, everybody, welcome Pastor Matt and Adeline. They're sitting there pretending like no one's going to notice them. It was always going to happen. Give me one thing. Your first date. Your first date. Can you imagine how Matt was celebrating this first date and anticipating his first date? So much confidence in this man. Yeah. And someone over here, what was your time of celebration that you were looking forward to? Go.
Your birth.
Hey?
Your birth.
My birth? Thanks, Dad. Let the record show to my brothers, Nick and Justin, who one day I pray they'll listen to my sermons, that Dad was eagerly anticipating the birth of your youngest brother, Jeremy. Contrary to what the other story normally is that they were expecting and hoping that I would be a girl. Such disappointment. However, I mean, I haven't asked more questions, but maybe the reason why he was so anticipating my birth is they were hoping I would be a girl. I know what that's like because the trend has continued in our family of two boys straight, and I don't know how Crystal does it, but she's knocking out girls every second year. First date. I remember my first date. I remember my first date when it wasn't just me asking a girl out, it was me asking her friends for information on how I can coordinate asking this girl out. It required me to contact someone who was in the vicinity of her working environment to find out her precise location on a precise day, Valentine's Day. All right, level 3, 363 Wellington Street, Western Power, Valentine's Day. And with that information, that person in our community said, I hope I'm not getting this person into trouble and I won't regret this, but here's the information. What a loving brother that person was. That person was K-Chu. He reluctantly gave me that information and I sent her flowers. I said plural. It wasn't plural. It was a flower. They're like $100. Like, sounds good, looks good in the movies until you have to go through the payment and it's $100 not for the picture, but for one of those flowers in the picture. Yes, I sent her a rose with a message that just said, would you like to go have coffee? Yeah, Su Chin laughs. That was a really good line back then. I thought and prayed hard about that line, okay? And she said yes. She did say yes. She did say yes. And on Chinese New Year, when our parents thought that we were going off with our friends, we met up on our first date. It was like sneaking out of the house to get to a precise location so that no one would know, a hidden location, where I would share my heart with her about why I thought this would be a good arrangement for us. She thought I was a great guy. Loving family guy, okay? Good job, ticks those two boxes. Every other box on her list did not tick. So, regretfully, she's declined my offer to be her boyfriend and go out with her, and I went home crying, okay? So there was great anticipation for this day. I thought, this is it. God, this is the moment that you're preparing my heart for. This is the moment that you've said, like, we shouldn't be alone. Well, tonight, from now on, I won't be alone. Like, that's how I thought it would be. But with great disappointment, because she just said, no thanks. No thanks, no thanks, no thanks. But the story continues, okay? Because, Melina, I've noticed something about modern-day weddings, okay? I've been to Haley and Alvin's recently, John Ong and Alyssa's recently, even Alvin, Chin and Ruby, I've been to theirs as well. And one thing I've noticed is that the bride rocks up on time. Okay, you see this in movies. You hear about the runaway bride, okay? I still remember the day that I'm anticipating to marry this woman, the woman who said no and then 30 days later came back and said yes, right? I'm waiting for her to come down the aisle, and you always know that the bride might be a little bit late. But in my case, it was 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late. By the 20th minute, I was sweating, okay? I made sure that her bridesmaids weren't the ones driving the car to get her to the location, that it was a brother-in-law, all right? I sure proofed it, but it didn't work. She still made us wait. I still rocked up here anticipating, I think she's here. I heard she's arrived, but that was another 20 minutes ago. Where is she? Great anticipation. Great anticipation and a lot of, is she actually going to rock up or not? But praise God, they pushed her down the aisle and she eventually rocked down. Oh. Imagine back in Palm Sunday that these guys are recognizing Jesus as their King, as their Savior. Jesus had spent 3 years around Jerusalem. He'd done this ministry. He'd done it privately. And as he's approaching this third year of his life, in this ministry, it's starting to become more and more public. He's getting more and more noticed. He's no longer the kid from Nazareth, the little child, the one that we knew. He's actually grown into this man of God. He's actually becoming recognized as the one that all the scriptures have been talking about, this great king, this king that would come after King David, the one who would come and rescue them, the one who would save them. They recognize this now, and this is the time of his life where he's entering. Now is the moment for the king to arrive. Israel's king leads to Israel's restoration and Israel's relief from the Roman Empire and becoming their own. It's massive. It's massive. And they come. He comes of all things. In those days, you would expect a king to ride, it would be proper, on a horse with a sword, with armor, like a conqueror, a king of conquest like David. You would expect a political person to be able to speak and move the nation so that they would heed his words. But our king decides to tell another dude to go and get a donkey and find the baby of that donkey so that he could ride it. And this is how our king arrives in Jerusalem. He's greeted to all of these people who recognizing, shouting praises, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed is the King of Israel. Their red carpet was palm leaves that they're thrown down onto the floor. I don't have palm trees, but I've got magnolias and I think they're fake. If I had them, I'd be throwing them down. Oh, there they are. Yeah, there they are. Palm trees right here, right? That's all we've got. Lay them out. We don't have a red carpet, but here is the palm trees. This is all we've got. We can't make this great for you because we're poor. We don't have much. We're the people. We don't live in the big city of Jerusalem. But take our cloaks, take our clothes. Let's lay them down because you know that song, what is it called? That song. We sing it in church. Brandon Lake, the song is Gratitude. And there's this line which is beautiful. It says, "So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, because all I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah." Every time that song gets sung, I'm weeping. Because the next line tells you, it says, "I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart that's singing, hallelujah, hallelujah." These people don't have the royalties that they can offer a king, but they got palm leaves, they got cloaks, they'll put it on the floor. They don't have much, but what they do have is a heart that's beating. That's my king. That's my king. And they sing. They don't pray. They sing. They praise. So say it with me, church, in the red. Hosanna. Go. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. This is the guy who rocks up. And I'm just imagining that these people have nothing that they can give, but they give themselves. They give their heart to him. And they recognize that it's him. Church, I want that back in our life as an everyday thing. It's ours now in Christ, right? I don't want us to wait every year. But it's just like, I think Pastor Rena, she made a joke just now about Sang, you know, not dressing appropriately for the king. You know, this guy doesn't even have pants, right? It doesn't matter. Without pants, he's still fit for a king. He can still pray for our dear sister as we send her off blessed to another city. That's what we want. That's what I want everyone to have, because we do have it. He knows that you don't have much. Even if you think you do, it's not enough. It really isn't. And if you're a type of person who looks around at the next guy and thinks, well, he's got a bit more than me, he can do a lot more, she can give a bit more, it's not about that. Just look at yourself and just go, actually, compared to what God did for me, compared to the cost that he paid for me, whatever I can give, really, nothing weighs up against that. Yeah? It's a one-sided account there. But this is a moment of celebration, and our Lord Jesus didn't come to conquer his people in the physical form. He didn't come to rule and be served. Lately, the TBCs had this, their favorite verse of this year comes from Mark chapter 10, verse 45, and it's this verse, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." You know, we ask these kids, of all the passages that you've been learning every week, what's your favorite? And that was the clearest one. There's something about Jesus coming to serve them and pay a ransom for them that is speaking to them. And the output, the change in their life that we've seen is hands up saying, I want to contribute. I want to have a go at doing something for God. I want to be part of something bigger in church. You know, they've been spending a week and a week and a week in SEEK trying to teach, trying to help the helpers. And the little ones are being blessed because they're seeing older kids who want to be part of their life. You know, they don't have to wait to then graduate to get in there. They can simply just be part of it right now. So this is the thing. Jesus came. He came on a donkey of all things. And it just highlights to us the kind of Savior he is. He's the king on the donkey. The king on the donkey. He's not the one who's going to come here and become a huge political figure. He's not going to rule by transactions and put tariffs on people. He's not that kind of king. He's not. He's the king on the donkey. He's interested in something different. On Sunday, we celebrate our king's arrival. But where that's going is it's going to Friday. So he's the humble, humble king who's decided to lower himself for our sake. So in the next slide, I just want to highlight this bit. It says, at first his disciples did not understand all of this. I can tell you back when Melina was making me wait so long for her at our wedding, I did not understand what was taking so long. I did not understand how I was going to cover up all the sweat that's on my face. I did not understand what would an appropriate time would be to stand here waiting for her, to give to her. When she said no to dating me, I also did not understand why she would say no. I do not understand why anyone would reject me. I mean, her friends and my friends, she didn't know this, but her friends and my friends were praying for this to happen. Okay? And then yes, there were doubters, there were prayer blockers. God, don't let this happen. God, I don't know. But there were people who were for me. For me, yeah, for us, for us, for us, for us, for us. I did not know, and it's only when I could look back that I could actually hear the story about what God was doing. Not what I was doing or what I was not. Like, maybe I wasn't good enough for her. Maybe I didn't speak well enough in my presentation to her on our first date. Maybe the rose was too much. Maybe I went a bit too hard at first. Maybe I shocked her. But when I actually paid attention to what God was doing, wow, I started hearing stories about how people were actually advocating for me to say, I don't think he's the kind of guy that you think he is. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect a person to come to her at church to say, get rid of your list, the list of your ideal husband. Every girl's got one. So I'm told. Right, Haley, your list is complete now that you've found Alvin. Yeah. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect to hear that the same day, the same church camp, that I had a dream that I was with her, just talking mutually, all platonic. The same day she woke up and she went to the beach and prayed to God for a man. I didn't expect that the way that God would bring us together would be that her dad, who's just turned 80, would give her a random mooncake. Mooncake's like this Chinese delicacy, right? I didn't like it until I started dating Melina. But her father would give her a mooncake because it was mooncake festival. And that day, she brought it to church and said, does anyone want a mooncake? And the friend said, you should give it to Jez. Why? Because that night, I had a dream and apparently slept talk saying, mooncake, mooncake, come back, mooncake. Testified by all of these faithful people of church, okay? I didn't know. But when you look back, there is a moment where God reveals to you exactly what was going on. And for these people, 550 years before Jesus was there on Palm Sunday, God had given his people this word from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And he says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious. But it also says, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Come back to that time of Jesus. He had spent time with them. He's doing miracles. He's moving. He's moving the sky. He's calming the storm. He's doing the impossible. He's walking on water. This guy is no ordinary man. He's something else. But they're not piecing together the type of king that he really is. They're actually expecting him to become that new political figure, that new righteous, victorious conquest type king, the armored king. But they're not realizing that he's going to save them in a different way, in a way that requires him to enter this grand procession on a donkey. Next slide, thanks, Chohi. It says, only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things have been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Church, it's only afterwards that they could see that the way that their king would come and save them was what we know as Good Friday. The king, in the Gospels, there's a lot of information that we get, a lot of information about his birth, and then his time of ministry, his time of doing miracles out in Galilee. But across all the Gospels, the majority of time that they spend is in 1 week. And that's the beginning of this week, 1 week. So there's something about this week that's really important that God's wanting us to always remember. And the climax of that week ends up becoming his crucifixion. This is how he reigns. He reigns with humility, but he reigns with sacrifice. He's not the type of king that requires you to serve him because he needs you to do it or wants you to do that. That's the wrong motivation. He wants you to let him serve you. And on that Friday, he goes and does it. He sends the only one who can actually go ahead and do it. And the only one who can do that, who can pay the ultimate price and cover all of our sins, the only one who can do that is his only son. That is his gift to us. That is our king. That is our king of Israel, our king of a king on a donkey. That's our king. And so he does it with sacrifice. And so this week, church, please don't just treat it as another ordinary week. Take the time to reflect on Jesus as he leads up to the point of Good Friday. Okay? I said at the start that my prayer for everyone here today is to go out differently with expectation of God. And there's a weight that we have of disappointments, of burdens, unanswered prayers. We've been talking a lot about prayers in the last few weeks. Those things, God gave me this picture of whatever that is, whatever those things are. Grab hold of them, okay? And if you can't grab hold of them, ask a friend to hold it with you, okay? And I want you to reflect as we get to Maundy Thursday, as we get to Good Friday, I want you to imagine coming on Good Friday as if you are coming to his temple and coming to his altar. Because on Good Friday, you know who's going to be at that altar. You're going to be reminded of a man who died on the cross with arms stretched wide. But I also want you to see a picture of that arm stretched wide as a symbol to say, come. Come to me. It's the picture of the father or the prodigal son, open arms. Come to me. I want your burden. I want those disappointments. I want those unanswered prayers that you keep remembering about. I want a more. And I want you to bring it. Imagine bringing it to him on Friday. And at the service, we are simply going to leave it at the cross. Let his sacrifice work for you. Let it be enough for you. Because he doesn't want us to have those wounds open anymore. He doesn't want us to be weighted down anymore. He knows their heavy burdens. He knows them better than anyone else. But his sacrifice is enough to handle, to keep, to trust those things with him. Yeah? So don't let this week just be an ordinary week. Okay? If tonight he's opening up wounds, I ask God that you would have support around us, that there would be people around all of us to be able to get us to the altar. And like I said, if you cannot do this on your own, and chances are you can't, bring someone with you. Bring them. Because no matter what, he wants you there. I was going to say he wants you on that cross. He doesn't want you on the cross. He's going to be on the cross. But he wants all of it. He wants all of it. And let's anticipate that he really is our King. Let us anticipate that he really has the power to actually heal those wounds. That he can actually return to you something lighter. Return to you something that will make you look up, make you smile. Something that will make you feel loved, like you're really his. Yeah. And so the last thing is this, in the next slide. He is a king who reigns with humility through sacrifice, and he's a king who reigns forever. That's what Sunday's about. I want you guys to know that you won't feel the heaviness forever. That's not coming into eternity with us. I'm going to say that again. That heaviness that you've left with him at the cross is not going with us into eternity. We're leaving it with him. We're trusting him with it. And he's going to take us into eternity with us. Sound good? Sound good? This is our God. In closing, there's this prayer that I want us to pray together. And it's from Hosea, chapter 6, verse 2. It says this: after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. So let us acknowledge the Lord, and let us press on to acknowledge him. Church, Palm Sunday, we get to celebrate that we have a King, a righteous and victorious King. Nothing will ever take that shine away from him. Yeah? But he wants us to live on the other side of his sacrifice. He wants us to live in his presence. You have that now, church. You have that now. At the same time, he knows that we are still human. He knows we've still got feelings, hard, heavy feelings. But he also knows that we carry burdens, and perhaps we shouldn't be carrying them anymore. Perhaps it's time that we be set free, that we be made lighter in this world. This is what He offers to us. This is the power, the gift of His sacrifice, church. So I pray this over us. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Acknowledge this good work that He's done for us and He's doing in your life right now. And let us press on to acknowledge Him. Church, whatever the burden is that's clouding your vision, I need you to look up a bit. I need you to look up a bit, because He's saying, acknowledge me, and I'm up here. I'm up here. And at the same time, He wants you to press on in Him, not in the burden, not in the weights. Don't press on the weights. Don't just push through. Don't just push through. Don't just push through. Church, don't just push through. Say, God, I can't lift it anymore. But believe, I'm not supposed to lift it anymore. I leave it here at the cross. It's yours, God. It's yours. It's not meant to be yours, God, but you can take it and you will take it. You want it. I leave it with you. And let's go and make that step in His presence. Let's look up. Let's look up and let's experience what that is like. Yeah? If you want that, will you stand up? Will you just raise your hands? And we're just going to ask the worship team to lead us in worship. And we're going to praise Him. We're going to praise Him. And we're going to pray after worship. We're going to pray after worship.